online, offline, bottom line. Sendoff.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sundog the Podcast. On the show, we take an entertaining look at the news, trends, best practices surrounding the worlds of internet marketing, Web 2.0 development, traditional media, and we focus on how we can tie all these things together to help improve your company's bottom line. We're taking a little bit of a detour from our main focus today, but it all fits together, and we'll show you how we do that later on. You're listening to episode number 7. We're calling it Sassy CRM. And on the show today, we have Mr. Eric Dukart.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you doing today?
Very good.
Eric, would you introduce the rest of our panel for us today?
Sure.
I love throwing them curves, folks.
Actually, I'll let you guys introduce yourself.
Go ahead, Chuck.
All right. Well, they're both looking at me. So my name is Chuck Tomonic, systems analyst here with Sundog. Working with Salesforce, doing some of the technical back-end implementation and consultation with it.
And I am Jonathan Rademacher, or JR, you'll hear me mentioned as. I head up the application delivery team here at Sundog.
Okay, well, welcome everybody. Eric has been here before, but JR and Chuck, these are your first time on the show.
Yep, that's
so
correct.
Welcome. Well, today we're going to start out talking about CRM, Customer Relationship Management. And I'll put the question to you, Mr. Dukart. How does it help align companies, their marketing and their technology goals? How can a CRM solution do that for a company?
I think what we've seen over the past few years as we've really kind of dived into measurable marketing is when we approach clients and companies, we've seen that they've had the capabilities of being able to do marketing, but they've never had the tools or the technology to be able to tie out those marketing efforts all the way to a lead and a sale, which really led us down the path of looking at and evaluating products that would tie out the entire life cycle of marketing and sales. So I think one of the biggest benefits that CRM brings to companies is the ability to track their marketing campaigns. We run into companies all the time that they are tracking their campaigns through spreadsheets on paper, little sticky notes on the side of their computer, and there's really no visibility into how they're spending their money, what kind of channel marketing that they're doing. Do they have a good mix of different channels that they're looking at? And I think a big thing is in the last few years, we've seen such a shift to online marketing, whether that's through pay-per-click, whether that's through online ads and email marketing, that you really need to have the capability of being able to seamlessly track and manage all of those campaigns. So you can see your marketing ROI. You can manage the budgets that you have and see what kind of leads and sales are coming in through that.
Now, that's a big change from, you know, the way it used to be, because, you know, you could get a ratings book back. Let's say if you had a TV spot, you're hoping to hit the audience you're looking at, but even though you get the results back, the marketing execs still were not 100% sure that the numbers they were receiving back were accurate. Now, these CRM solutions kind of turn the tables on that a little bit.
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing that it does is you get those rating books 3 months later,
mm-hmm.
Which you've already spent your money, you've already ran your campaign, your buying season may already be over with. Looping in a CRM product like Salesforce.com into your marketing efforts, you get real-time results as to how your campaign is tracking. What we typically like to see is pilot projects pilot campaigns that are being run, and be able to test creative, be able to test offers, and be able to test different marketing channels that you're doing before you go spend $1 million on your marketing campaign. It allows you to basically do all different types of marketing tactics. You can watch that information flow from a direct mail piece or a pay-per-click campaign, watch it flow right into your sales pipeline, track it back to a campaign, and see what's working and what's not working, and adjust before you go kick off your major campaigns.
And I'm assuming all of this type of information that the executives are looking for, it's all customizable. If they want to look at a specific metric, it can the Salesforce application or whatever CRM application it is can be fine-tuned to do that for them.
Absolutely. Yep. I think the visibility aspect is huge with products, with CRM products. I think, you know, in the past, you had to kind of wait for somebody to put together a spreadsheet for you. And now really that data is real time.
Yeah, I think we have seen that with a number of clients where the time when they're doing their planning, it's hurry up and run around and grab all the salespeople and figure out where their marketing efforts are going and grab their spreadsheets and grab their other pieces of information and let's put it all up on a big tack board and let's run through this and figure out who's ahead and who's behind and how are our marketing efforts working. With Salesforce, you get the concept of a dashboard, and with the number of CRM services, you get the concept of a dashboard. But when you go and log into your system in the morning, you've got some neat gauges, right? And they can look like a speedometer, or they can be a nice trending graph, or what have you. But all those are in real time, and that's exactly where your numbers are at. And every time you click on refresh or refresh your web browser, you get to see the latest numbers.
JR, you put out an internal blog a few days ago. It was during Apple's conference announcing that they're having a software development kit available for the iPhone, and one of the presenters on stage was from Salesforce. They're integrating that into the iPhone already.
Yep. That's one of the nice things that we have with this particular tool is we can change the user interface. Chuck's got an iPod Touch, and you know, having that nice, clean interface that Apple is known for, and really you can consider that to be a skin that sits on top of the application. It's calling back to the servers, but it's got that nice, pretty user interface.
Yeah, and in fact, I've actually already demoed some of that with the Visual Force piece that they had available in a developer pre-release type of thing, where they had a pre-made skin right for the iPhone, and it worked very well.
I think from a salesperson or from a marketing person's standpoint, that's really what people are looking for now. Most people are not sitting at their desk anymore. Most mm-hmm. people are moving around, and the concept of having mobile devices and having information real time at your fingertips is becoming just ingrained in how we do business. So I think, you know, all of the CRM products that are out there are looking at that. I think Salesforce has moved ahead a little bit with their ability to open up the back door to their application so that on different devices you can get to that information right away. And I think a lot of people are saying, well, you know, do I really need to have that information right now? When you're a salesperson and you're on the road, you're meeting with the client, being able to have information at your fingertips and know that the data is accurate because it's pulling from your core CRM product is now just becoming mainstream.
And that, as a web development company, that gives us a lot of flexibility around that user interface that we are very passionate about. You know, we're all about design, we're all about marketing, and if we can change that user interface to match your company's logos, their look and feel, and change it so it works well on their devices. So the iPhone, a BlackBerry, Palm devices, there are all interfaces for those. So it feels like a native BlackBerry application mm-hmm. versus something else.
This is all very cool. Folks that have listened to the show know that I'm a video editor here at Sundog, so I am learning a whole lot of stuff here today about CRM. And another topic that has come up is SaaS, software as a service. Give me a definition of what you guys consider software as a service.
Well, software as a service is basically being able to run your business applications without the large infrastructure on the back end, all the servers that need administration, the massive networks, everything like that. If you can have a large business application that is all used through an internet browser that is completely managed by someone else, it will save you lots of time in implementation, lots of money in both implementation and administration as time goes on, and allow you to focus more on, you know, completing your goals instead of having to worry about maintenance and fixes mm-hmm. and the time it takes to set everything up.
How does a SaaS product offering fit in with companies that already have the infrastructure built in?
I think it fits in very well because there are a number of what we call integration points that are industry standard that we can plug into lots of back-end infrastructure. So if you got a back-end billing system or what have you. But I think one of the big important pieces that Chuck kind of touched on was the actual cost of ownership. You know, mm-hmm. I've been on some big CRM implementations and they always cost, you know, millions of dollars and hundreds of lives and thousands of of relationships. And with this type of offering, a Salesforce type offering, a SaaS offering, we can roll something out in a matter of weeks or days versus, oh, we got to buy a server. We got to buy software. Now let's plug it in and see if it all works. No, it's there. It's available.
Mm-hmm. And again, when you look at that from a CRM product standpoint, most of the people that are going to be using those CRM tools are salespeople and they're marketing people. And they don't care about infrastructure. They don't care about networks and pipes and everything else that you need. So mm-hmm. I think it's very simple. And that's where software as a service is really moving is, people look at Google, they look at eBay. They have no idea how those tools work, but they know that they work and they mm-hmm. know that they're always up and running. And that's really where products like Salesforce that have moved to software as a service model, that's what they're saying is your business applications can be just like Google, can be just like just like eBay, but now it's an application that runs your company, runs your sales mm-hmm. efforts, runs your marketing efforts.
I think it gets as complex as you'd like it to get. You know, with Google, you can log into go to google.com and you get a neat little text box with a search button, and that's it. But if you dig past those layers or peel the onion, you can get as complex as you like. The same with Salesforce.
There was an article in Reuters a couple days ago online. They talked about one of the big companies, Oracle, getting into the game, probably going to take Salesforce on head-to-head. Wouldn't be their only competition. There's other offerings out there from Microsoft and another name.
SAP.
SAP, thank you very much. What does this mean, Oracle getting into the space?
I think that means that they're realizing that software as a service is a viable marketing or a viable solution for large corporations. That's really where Oracle makes their money in big enterprises, and that's if you're over a $1 billion company, you're looking at some Oracle solutions. There were some recent big wins from the Salesforce standpoint as far as Merrill Lynch and I believe Citibank, where they were getting on the 20,000-30,000 seats, and that's really encroaching in their space. That's a bigger space than where, say, a Microsoft solution would be.
I think the other thing it does is adds validity to the technology or to the concept, and I think software as a service is a 21st century concept in computing, mm-hmm. and Salesforce has been on that route. That has always been their model. And now the other competitors out there that are focused, that were always server-based applications, know that they need to move that way. And again, I always bring it back to how simple it is. If you want to be up and running on a CRM tool, you basically turn on an application and you have your applications running. Mm-hmm. You go in and you have to configure it and you have to customize it, which is all capable inside any CRM, but especially Salesforce. You can customize that application specifically to your sales and marketing needs. You don't have to change your business process to be able to work around the tool.
I also think it's a good thing getting that competition in there. The article that you mentioned that they're bringing in a lot of social networking pieces that were never part of a CRM solution in the past. So they're bringing in Facebook and some MySpace type social networking aspects and integrating that into CRM and using it as a true selling tool and augmenting marketing efforts where you've actually got a Facebook interface where you can see other folks and interact with them.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, I would say if anything, the competition is definitely going to drive the innovation faster. You know, having more companies trying to up the other one always helps out in the technology field.
Where would you like to see? I mean, what would you like to see as the next innovation?
I think from what we see our clients needing, it's continuing to evolve, bringing really your marketing efforts and your sales efforts together. I think those have always been kind of two different worlds inside organizations. You've got your sales team that is out using what they know is comfortable to them on how they sell, and you've got the marketing team that is primarily just focused on generating leads. And within the CRM world, is the closer we can start to bring sales efforts with marketing efforts, and we're able to pass leads and customers back and forth between those two areas, it's going to make the customer's experience much better.
I think that's huge. I think if you obviously dissect CRM, you got customer relationship management. So I think the ideal goal would be that we can enable our clients to service their customers better so that mm-hmm. they go to the website, they have a commercial, what have you, video, it's the same experience when they come into the store or into the regional location where it's, I know the same product information is being provided in a consistent way. The communication with the salesperson is the same or a representative is the same. They know me. They know my background. I don't have to respell everything that I went through already as far as I don't have to tell you who I am. I don't have to tell you what I'm interested in. I already know that because you did that on the website.
In general, is there... What would you consider, would there be a considered minimum company size you would require before implementing a solution like this, or can it scale all the way down to a mom and pop shop?
I think that's, we see our clients where we have implemented this for three people all the way up to 200 people. Mm-hmm. So it absolutely is not, there is no size comparison to this. I'd push or ask the question more, how much do you want to know about your customer? How closely do you want to be tied into what products they've bought, questions that they've asked you? You know, what tactics have you used to be able to market to those people? That's really more the question. It's not necessarily even a size of company.
Okay. Yeah, the nice thing about software as a service, the general licensing model for it is per user. So mm-hmm. smaller companies aren't going to have to make that gigantic investment like, you know, the larger companies would make, because it's, I mean, technically, it's a different product. It scales to your business size.
Very cool. Any closing thoughts on the topic today, gentlemen?
I think, you know, the big thing will be just watch it. Watch in the next 6 to 9 months up to a year and the amount of innovation that's going to happen. Salesforce, you know, the one that we're closest to is quarterly coming out with just fantastic innovative ideas. As more and more of the competitors get into the SaaS space, you're going to see that innovation grow.
Yep. Look for some cool new stuff coming out for it. Further customizations, further technological growth.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also a good platform for us to grow. It's a good platform for us to really show the marketing impact that we can have on a company.
Very cool. Now if we can just get some iPhones around here.
That's right.
For the folks that don't know, we're in sort of a black hole of not being able to get iPhone service here temporarily. So we're all waiting with bated breath, especially after that announcement that Salesforce is going to be available for it. Well, thanks, everyone. Thank you, JR, Chuck, and Eric for being on the show today. If anyone has any questions about CRM or Salesforce.com or SaaS solutions in general, you can send a question, comment to the podcast at sundog.net, or you could give us a phone call, too. The number here is 888-9-SUNDOG. That's 888-978-6364. And if you run across any articles on the internet and you want to share them with us, head over to Delicious. We've got a tag set up. It's Sundog the Podcast, all one word. Until next time, this is Lon Keller. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.